Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. I know we never know just how a day is going to go. Life is not as smooth as silk. We do fight a lot of battles in this world. And you know, we just never quite know just what is up. And a lot of times we don't understand the whys. But I know we serve a God who sees it all, who knows it all, and is able to help us no matter what the situation is. Praise the Lord, you know. Praise the Lord, He knows how to bring us out of these conflicts, of these trials. Praise the Lord, He knows how to deliver, and He knows how to make sense out of these things that often don't make sense to us. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again that we could assemble here, Lord. We thank you for this place that you've given us, Lord. We thank you that we have a refuge in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that, oh God, we can come to you with every care, with every burden, with every need, Lord. We know nothing is too hard for you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would move, Lord Jesus. Oh God, you know our needs are far off. Oh God, and you know, oh God, how to heal us, how to save us, how to deliver us, God. Oh God, how to give us the strength that we need to stand. Oh Lord, oh God, we surely could do nothing without you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd move right here. Oh God, I pray that you keep us, Lord. I pray that you'd talk to us. Let the devil be rebuked, oh God. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, that you'd have your way in this message. Oh God, that you'd give me the words, Lord. Oh, surely I know that, oh God, I could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, you know what we have need of here tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd inspire us. You give us faith, Lord. Oh, God, you give us the strength to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Oh, Lord, to prevail, Lord, to stand fast in the evil day. Oh, God, put it within us, oh, Lord Jesus, a determination. Oh, God, a great desire, Lord, regardless of what is going on. Oh, Lord, to stand fast. Oh, God, to claim the victory. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So thank our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Well, such a night already. Just all these unexpected things and the modem not working, no internet and all of that. But praise our God. He still is here. He still knows how to help us. And oh my, He can make a way, even in spite of things that didn't seem to go just quite right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This message I was going to call Faith and Obedience. And interesting, it's kind of a different combination that just kind of came to me today. Many times we've already said the great need for faith. This world that we live in, so many things try to quench faith and, you know, make it ineffective. And we fight all kinds of battles. If we're human, we are fighting battles. I know our Lord Jesus even had to have those times away where He'd go and pray and gather strength. And, you know, that great example for us, how we need great strength that comes from the Lord, how we need faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We know for sure, as it tells us in Hebrews, that 11th chapter, verse 6, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And praise the Lord that, you know, that's quite a bit to ponder right there. You know, sometimes, you know, yes, faith is something that you just can't see right. You know, and it's not things that are always focused and always real clear. And of course, yeah, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's something that we believe in our heart, but it's not clearly in focus in that sense. But praise the Lord, our God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And, you know, He knows those things that we have need of. And praise the Lord, you know, sometimes it can be quite an effort to gain it, the thing that we need, the thing that, you know, is in our spirit, you know, the conflicts, the battles. Like, I know I work with a lot of people, and oh yeah, sometimes I know there's people that have gone through so many hard things that it seems that they consider giving up. But you know, that's when we need to seek the Lord the hardest. Oh yes, because He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Sometimes it's quite a pursuit. It might seem like everything is against us and nothing is ever going to happen and that mountain is never going to move. But praise the Lord, there is victory in Christ Jesus and He knows how to do it. I think so often how it must have been for Abraham and Sarah, having received the promise that they would have a child, and you know, those years went by and it never happened, and you know, they began to think that Hagar was going to be that promised child, or bring forth that promised child, and Ishmael would be the one, and you know, that wasn't God's plan. And in spite of all the time that went by, God still was going to answer that. He was, you know, it was going to come to pass. I just thank God because, you know, that just shows our wonderful God's ability. He's always on top of things. He always knows how to move the mountains. He knows always how to give us hope, even when, you know, there's no evidence of it. And we know those that are mentioned in that 11th chapter of Hebrews are individuals. They all walked this road of life. They all fought battles, every single one of them. They all had times of discouragement and hardship. And oh, they must have had questions at certain points in their lives. But praise the Lord, faith took them through. Oh yes, and what we don't see here on earth, we're going to see one day in that place that the Lord has prepared for His people, that city that we are all looking forward to, that place that Abraham looked for, that city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So surely we do need faith. Like never before, I believe it's really attacked in so many ways. The world that we live in and the environment and all the school systems and all the other things that try so hard to prevent faith. But praise the Lord is able to work in us and give us faith even in times like these. And the other great need that I'm going to mention here tonight is the need for obedience. And just to concrete that thought, let's go to Jeremiah, the 7th chapter here for a moment. Just to read a couple verses here. 7th chapter, Jeremiah is quite something. But let's read verses 23 and 24 here. It says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Oh dear, that's not good news, is it? Oh yes, the people of Israel had been told that they had a great need to do the things that God had commanded them to do, to obey his voice and to walk in his ways. And if they would do so, he would be their God and they would be his people. But the sad fact of the matter is that they did not hearken. They did not incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels, in their own imagination of their evil heart. In other words, they did what they wanted to do. They despised the word of God. They didn't do it. They didn't listen. And, you know, it wasn't well with them either. Just as the word of God declares. And we see that pattern again and again when they obeyed the Lord, when they listened to his voice, when they did what he wanted them to do, then it went well for them. But if they forgot or just declined, forsook, went the way of the heathens, then, oh my, things went all awry. God had to do all kinds of things to try to stir their hearts and help them to see how they had disobeyed and went the wrong way. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15 here for a little bit. And in this chapter here, 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're reading about some events when Saul was king, the first king of Israel. And already in this chapter, he's already in trouble because he's already made some mistakes. And, you know, there's a lot of doubts about how he's going to do in the future. But it seems that at this point, as this chapter begins, he's given a new assignment. It's a test, I would say. And he is told that he is to go out and fight against the Amalekites. And he was to go forth, he was to smite them, he was to utterly destroy them, all that they have. He was not to spare by any means. He was to slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And they might have sounded severe, but God had ordained that. There had been trouble with the Amalekites when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And instead of aiding them and helping them, the Amalekites had opposed them. In fact, what they did is, as they were traveling through the wilderness, that they went behind them and they would, well, it says they smote the hindmost of them. In other words, those that were the last ones there in the group, the more feeble and weary of them, those that were last, were smitten by these people. They went to catch, you know, the slow ones or the feeble ones or the older ones. And God saw it. You know, sometimes we wonder about all these affairs in this world and all the ugly things that happen and the things that God sees and the things that people try to hide. And I know sometimes people wonder, where is God's hand? Where is God's judgment? But God notes it. God sees it. It is recorded. And oh yes, that day of his vengeance is going to come forth. It's not going to be pretty. And it's going to be just. Because our God is a God of justice. And oh yes, if it doesn't happen here while we are yet alive, it will happen at that time appointed. And so here it was, God had seen how the Amalekites had opposed the children of Israel. Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter, records it. Let me just read these few verses here. It says in verse 17 here, Deuteronomy chapter 25, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. So here it was recorded that this must yet be done, that any remembrance of them was to be blotted out. And of course, God had not forgotten their behavior. Years had gone by, and perhaps this thought had been forgotten. But God hadn't forgot it. And now here is Saul. He's king of Israel. And he's given this assignment to go utterly destroy them. And not to save any. And not to save their ox or their sheep or their camels or their ass. None of it. So anyway, Saul gathered the people together, his footmen and all of them that were numbered among them to fight. And he went in, and of course, first of all, they had to tell the Kenites who were living in that vicinity to please move, because they did not want to destroy them. They had been friends. They had showed kindness to the children of Israel, so they wanted them out of harm's way. And therefore, after that was done, Saul moved in and he smote the Amalekites. But there's something that he didn't do. He saved the king, Agag. He saved him alive. And although he destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword, otherwise he saved Agag. And besides, he saved the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, it tells us in verse 9, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So there's a conflict here, because he was given a very specific order here that all must be eliminated. And of course it was that ordinance that God had ordained those many years before that was recorded there in the book of Deuteronomy. So anyway, this is the situation. And here Samuel the prophet is coming. And, you know, he's the one that has directed this, and given Saul this order and so on. But God talked to Samuel and told him that it repented him. This is verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So, having been told that, Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, you know, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on. He's gone down to Gilgal. And so anyway, Samuel catches up with him. Verse 13 tells us, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. This is what Saul said to Samuel. Of course, Samuel already knows, because God's told him. And besides, God's given him discernment of this whole thing. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Well, here he's going to put the blame on the people. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said in verse 17, when thou wast little in thine own sight, Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And here poor Saul, oh boy, what a predicament now he's in. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God, in Gilgal. And of course, these are excuses that Saul has come up with, and besides, they're not even true. He did not clearly obey the voice of the Lord as he had been told. And yes, I'm sure he was the one, you know, that gave the people the orders. But yes, he's blaming it on the people and blah, blah, blah. And Samuel said in verse 22, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. Oh, what a sad state of affairs. What a horrible answer this was to Saul. And of course, he tried to get out of it. He tried to say that he was sorry and all of that, but sometimes it's too late. And we do know how the kingship was taken away from him and how troubled followed after this. Oh yes, a long bitter end. All came forth. But the great need here was, oh, in spite of what he had done to his credit, he had failed at these moments to be obedient. And oh my, that was not wise, that was not good. It brought him a very, very bitter end. And of course, the great declaration here being stated as, Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Oh my, sacrifices mean nothing if the heart is wrong. Oh yes, if it's full of sin, pride, envy, all kinds of despicable things, then what you do to try to receive a blessing is not going to be of value. God sees the heart. He knows the things that are deep inside. Oh, how important it is to get right with the Lord. Oh yes, to not carry things inside that will bring shame and reproach and separate you from God. Oh yes, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So important. Praise the Lord. Such a need. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go to another story here in the scripture. This one is in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And this is a little different here. And yes, also the way, you know, it ends. But in this chapter, chapter 5 of 2 Kings, we read about a man named Naaman. He was captain of the host of Syria. He was a great man, it tells us, with his master. And he was honorable. In other words, he was highly esteemed. He had brought great deliverance unto Syria. And he was known as a mighty man in valor. That means in courage. He was very brave and had done exploits and all. You know, if it was a time where they put medals on you, he would have had medals. But there was a problem. He was a leper. That was a problem. He was a leper. So in spite of everything he'd done, he has this great problem. And it tells us that the Syrians had gone out by companies. They had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And obviously, she was a young woman of faith. And it must have been one day that she said to her mistress, as it tells us in verse 3, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." She's talking about Naaman, who was in charge of her affairs. And, you know, he has this problem. He's a leper. But here she's expressing, oh, what she knew could be an answer. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Oh, I thank God for faith. Faith of this young girl that, you know, she brought forth and, you know, she made it known to her mistress, the woman that she waited on, Naaman's wife. And obviously it was heard and, you know, it was told to Naaman and whoever all needed to hear it. And, you know, they went on then to see if something could be done. Well, they didn't quite have it straight. They wrote a letter to the king of Syria. And, sent the messenger, obviously, in that direction to go and bring that letter to the king of Israel, who was in Samaria. And the messenger went and he had great prizes with him, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And that letter was brought to the king of Israel. Well, that king of Israel wasn't serving God. And that king of Israel didn't know what to do. You know, he didn't have faith in God. He didn't know how to pray and see Naaman delivered of his leprosy. So the king is in despair. When he read the letter, he rent his clothes and he said in verse 7, "Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Oh my, it seemed like it was going to be very bad. This king of Israel had no power to heal this man of his leprosy. And wow, did he just come to, you know, bring a fight upon us? Well, it so happened that Elisha, the man of God, heard all about this. And he sent to the king saying, it tells us in verse 8, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And he's going to be shocked at the response here. "Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Well, this is not the response that Naaman was hoping for. You know, I'm sure he had this thing called pride, for one thing. It tells us in verse 11 that he was wroth. He was angry. He was very upset. And he went away and he said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Oh, that's what he thought would happen, you know, maybe like a magic sort of thing or something. And besides, oh my, to tell me to go and wash in Jordan, that muddy old Jordan River, he went on to say in verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Oh, he was very upset. Oh, he had been told what he could do to recover of his leprosy, but oh, it displeased him. And oh, this thing called pride, he just really welled it up within him. And oh, he was angry. He was upset. He was mad. But praise the Lord. One of his servants, or maybe several of his servants, came near. It says plural here in verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? What a point here. You know, he had all these things that he had brought with him. I suppose he thought that he could gain his cleansing with the means of, you know, expensive things that he could kind of pay for this service. But God had another plan. God had another way. This man clearly had to be humbled for one thing. And, you know, besides, there was a need for him to realize who God is and to bow his knee to God Almighty. So here, his servants try to help him to cool off and, you know, just think about this a minute, you know. It would have been some great thing that you were told to do, then would not you have done it? But this is just a simple thing they're saying. He's just telling you to wash and be clean. I think sometimes, you know, we do have a command in the Bible. The command to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's a stumbling block to people. Oh yes, they want to come to God, they want to be a child of God, but when it comes to repentance perhaps, oh my, that can be a little much. When it comes to baptism, oh my. Well, right now I know there is a movement going on where people don't think they have to be baptized in water, oh, to receive the remission of sins. And so it's fought. It's fought. The things of God are still being fought. But here Naaman was having trouble with this simple order that he was given. But praise the Lord, his servants helped him to see his need to obey what had been told him to do. And praise the Lord, he obviously considered it. And it tells us in verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Oh, what a miracle. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Can you imagine this? Here he is, a man of some age, and here he was, you know, told what he needed to do. And I'm sure, you know, after one dip, he was still a leper. After two dips in that Jordan River, he was still a leper. Oh, 3, 4, 5, and 6, he was still a leper. It would take 7 dips. He would need to completely obey what God had told him to do through the man of God. And praise the Lord, He did it. He obeyed what was told him to do. And wow, what a wonder. He came up out of that Jordan River with flesh like a little child. Praise the Lord. Beautiful new skin that God had given him because he obeyed. He obeyed that which had been ordered him. The simplicity of it. He obeyed it. I thank God. Oh yes, we can obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. We go down. We die to our sins. Praise the Lord. God takes those sins. Praise the Lord. They are remitted in those waters of baptism. And praise the Lord. We can rise up out of that water, all ready to walk in newness of life. The promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord upon us. Oh yes, the Spirit of the living God. But praise the Lord. Oh, what a difference it makes when we can obey what God has told us to do. Just as Naaman, oh yes, he had to get to that place where he could humble himself in that fashion and go dip 7 times in that muddy old Jordan River. Praise the Lord, he fought it. Oh yes, it didn't seem like an easy thing to do, but oh, praise the Lord, what a victory was won when he went forth and did exactly what he had been told. Oh my, if Saul could have carried out that which he had been ordered and utterly destroyed the Amalekites, what a different story that would have been. Oh, instead he compromised. He did it according to his way. He saved Agag, the king. And oh, yes, he saved the best of the critters. Oh, my, that wasn't good enough. God expects us to surrender our lives unto him, to give our lives to him. He's given us his word, and he expects us to follow through on his word. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that Naaman could believe, have faith, and go forth and obey that which was told him to do. Praise the Lord. And he returned to the man of God. It tells us in verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But the answer is, but he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused all those things that he had brought that he wanted to give. Oh, well, we can't buy the gift of God. And oh, yes, Elisha knew that. And, you know, he didn't want to be some kind of recompense, you know, for what God had done. Praise the Lord, but Naaman said in verse 17, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burdens of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And Elisha said unto him, verse 19, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Well, God used this to show Naaman who he was. And oh yes, the answers that come forth when we're willing to submit our life unto the plan of God and obey that which God has asked us to do. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, God doesn't have great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Oh yes, what really pleases him is obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Oh, praise the Lord. But faith, oh yes, when it comes forth, can produce wonderful results. When we will obey and show faith, oh yes, God can do wonderful things. I'm turning to the New Testament now, to the 5th chapter of the book of Luke. Praise the Lord. And here's a wonderful favorite story here that we're going to talk about here for a little bit. Here it tells us that it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that being the Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And another word for Gennesaret is the Sea of Galilee. And the story is that there were two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were not in those ships at the moment. They were out washing their nets, it tells us. And Jesus entered into one of the ships. The ship happened to be Simon Peter's. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, just a little out of the land. And then Jesus sat down in that ship, and he taught the people out of the ship. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't elaborate here on his teachings at the moment. But there's another point here that's given here in this chapter 5 of the book of Luke. It tells us in verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." And I just want to pause here a moment. You see what had happened. And Jesus knew it all before anything began. Here, Simon Peter, Andrew his brother, and you know, James and John, they were fishermen. And typically, it seems that they would toil during the night times, and maybe that's when the fish would be more easy to catch. But whatever, at this point, you know, they had been out there all the night and nothing had come into their nets, not even one little fish. So, you know, here it is, the Lord Jesus is telling them to take their boat, their ship, and go out into the deeper waters and let down their nets for a draught. And, you know, okay, well, you know, you might wonder, we were out there all night, Lord, we didn't catch one thing. But praise the Lord, Simon didn't stop there. You know, he didn't let the skepticism and all the doubts and all the wonderment take over at this point. He went on to do what the Lord Jesus had mentioned here. He went on to say in verse 5, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And notice the response. "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Oh, wow, what a thing there. You know, I had caught nothing all night, but at the words of Jesus, oh my, there was a great multitude of fishes that came unto them. Oh, so many that their net was breaking. And praise the Lord, they began to scoop them in, or however, into their boats. They called their partners, were James and John, to come help them. And oh my, with all their great efforts here, they were able to fill both of the boats with all the fish. There were so many fish that they had caught that those ships now begin to sink. Well, the Lord is using this. Oh, yes. He wants them to know clearly who he is, the authority that he has. Oh, if we could just obey the words of our Heavenly Father, we could only respond in the proper way. All the things that God will do, he sees faith when he sees people that will respond to his words, to his orders. Oh, the great responses that God gives in return. It says in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Oh my, it was such a miracle. Yes, to think that they had been out there all night and not even caught one little fish, but at the words of Jesus Christ, oh yes, entirely different. Oh yes, how all the fish came to them. Oh yes, so many that their nets began to break. And oh yes, even the ships, when they were full, began to sink. But oh yes, it helped these men to realize, oh, the power, the authority that our Savior had and has at this point. Our God has not changed. Praise the Lord. And they were so astonished, and all that were with him, oh, at this fantastic drought of fishes which they had taken in. Oh yes, it says in verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They followed Jesus. Oh, they realized, oh, that there was power, that there was authority in Jesus that, oh, they had never seen before. His words were words of life. Oh, yes, he was somebody that they could follow with all their heart. He was somebody that they could give heed to. He was somebody that they could turn their lives over to. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, at his words, oh, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Oh yes, they brought their ships to land, and they forsook all. They left those ships and they followed Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what faith will do when we will respond to those words of life. Oh, what a difference it makes. Oh yes, when we obey that which the Lord has told us to do. What a wonder it is. Praise the Lord. Turning now to the 9th chapter of the book of John. And here's another instance that's, I think, worth talking about here tonight. I love these stories that are given to us in the Gospels. They encourage us. They, oh, teach us. Oh my, there's so much to glean from them. But here in this 9th chapter, it says in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" That was a big question that, seemed to be a part of their background here. You know, it is true, sometimes diseases and ailments do happen because of sin. It can be the case. But, you know, they seem to think that, you know, because this man had been born blind from his birth, it must be that either it was his sin or his parents' sin that he was born blind. That's the way they seem to see it. But Jesus has something else he wants to show them. This is not the case in this matter at all. Verse 3 says, "Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in them. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" oh, praise the Lord, this was going to be a miracle. Oh, yes, it would bring forth the wonderful works of God. Oh, it would also help them to understand who Jesus Christ was. Oh, he wasn't just an ordinary man, as most of them assumed that he was. Oh, just the son of Joseph. No, he was God, robed in flesh, and come to this world as a man. Oh, yes, to seek and to save those which were lost. Oh, praise the Lord, to do the works of him that sent him while it was day. Oh, Jesus well knew that the night was coming when no man can work. As long as he was in the world, he was light of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us when he had thus spoken in verse 6, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And then he said unto him in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Oh, praise the Lord. So here's another instance where it was needful for him to wash. And in this case, you know, Naaman had to dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan River, but this man was told to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he would come back seeing. And praise the Lord, this man obeyed this which Jesus had told him to do. Doesn't seem that he hesitated. Oh, yes, Jesus had spit on the ground and made a clay-like substance from his spittle to put on the eyes of this man. And, you know, I don't know how often Jesus did it this way. You know, he had reasons for everything he did. But anyway, there was a need for this man to show faith and to go forward and obey that which he was told to do. And praise the Lord, I thank God, this man went forth. He went to that pool of Siloam, and he washed. He washed the spittle off his eyes. Praise the Lord, and just as Jesus had told him, oh, just as he was directed. Oh, yes, he came back seeing. Praise the Lord. Oh, the things that happen when we can obey the voice of the Lord. Oh, yes, when we can go forth and heed the wondrous gospel. Praise the Lord. You know, oh, yes, we're given some specific instructions in the book of James, too. I just want to turn there right now. Praise the Lord. James chapter 5. If we look at James 5, looking at verse 13, it asks in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Answer, let him pray. Question, is any merry? Answer, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Answer, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And oh yes, I like the conclusion here. It says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And he goes on to say, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord, that prayer of faith, that effectual prayer, one that is done in faith, believing with all the heart, a fervent prayer, one that is prayed with the heart. And note, it says, of a righteous man. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, we do well to be right with God. Yes, we do well to get our hearts. Oh, yes, surrender to the mighty hand of God. Oh yes, if there are offenses, if there are things in our life that offend God, then oh yes, we best give them over to God and repent and turn from them. Oh yes, submitting our lives unto God. But oh yes, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh yes, it goes a long ways. Tells us in verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. But what truths are in this wonderful word of God and that wonderful example of Elijah the prophet. Oh, yes. At the first, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Oh, yes, something had to happen. The people were living in idolatry. Ahab and Jezebel had led the people astray. And, oh, the people were confused. They didn't even know who God was anymore. Oh, yes, the prophets of Baal were out there. And, oh, yes, there was much confusion in the land. Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And God heard that prayer. And yes, for the space of 3.5 years, it did not rain. It did not rain once. And praise the Lord. We know the story of how God intervened there at Carmel. And oh, yes. Oh, Elijah again. After that great event, when God answered by fire and consumed the sacrifice. Oh, and consumed all the water that was around it. And, oh, yes, and the hearts of the people were turned back to God. Oh, praise the Lord. When he prayed again for it to rain, God heard that prayer, didn't he? Oh, my. Sometimes it's not just once that you need to pray. In this example there, it comes from 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. We know that Elijah prayed 7 times before he saw a cloud in the sky, a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. Oh my, but I love that faith that Elijah had, that willing spirit, that obedience unto God, and that faith which he showed, and all that persistence. You know, he wasn't going to give up. He knew that once the hearts were turned back to God, that God would send forth rain. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he was down there. Oh, yes, his head between his knees, it seems. And oh, yes, crying forth, asking God to send forth rain. Oh, yes, 7 times. But oh, yes, that 7th time, oh, yes, his servant, oh, went forth and looked out, and lo, there was a cloud the size of a man's hand there in the heavens. Oh, yes, God was going to send forth rain. Oh, yes, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Oh, praise the Lord. And he realized, oh, yes, it was going to rain. And oh, yes, God uttered that faith. Oh, yes. Oh, the sky turned dark. Oh, my, the rains began to fall. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, Elijah so full of the Spirit of God. Oh, yes. Oh, he outran the chariot of Ahab. Oh, Run, Ahab, go, Ahab. Oh, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Oh, praise the Lord, what a wonder it is. Oh, yes, when our faith touches God, and God hears our cry, and He answers and He responds. Oh, yes, faith that is seen. You know, oh, what a wonder it is. In that fifth chapter of the book of Luke again, you know, there were those men that had a friend who had palsy. Oh, yes, they desperately wanted this friend to be healed. And there was Jesus, I believe he was in Capernaum, and you know, the house where he was ministering was full. It was so full that no one else could enter. But here was a need. And oh yes, God put faith in the hearts of these individuals that had brought their friend. Oh my, there was no way to enter into that house. But it came to them that they could go to the housetop, take off some of the shingles from the roof and let their friend down. Oh yes, to the place where Jesus stood. Oh, if they could just do that. Oh yes, their friend would be healed. Oh, they just knew it. And the scripture tells us when they did that, they went up upon the housetop and they let down through the tiling, oh, this friend, his couch into the midst before Jesus. And it tells us in verse 20 of that fifth chapter of Luke, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus saw faith. Oh, here's this man. Oh, yes. They couldn't enter into the house, but oh, they were determined. They were going to see the answer come forth. They had faith. Oh, sometimes it might take 7 times, oh, before the answers come. Oh, it might take more than that even. Oh, we need to be persistent in our faith. Oh, we need to be like that woman in the 18th chapter here of the book of Luke who, oh yeah, persisted before that unjust judge. Oh, judge, avenge me of my adversary. And she came back again and again and again and again and again and again. Oh, until that unjust judge was willing to do what needed to be done. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the kind of faith that we need, that kind of faith. Oh, that Jesus wants us to have. Oh, yes, that we ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, yes, to believe God when the skies are dark. Oh, and it looks oh so bleak out there and everything is going wrong. And oh, we need answers. We need a response. Oh, we serve a God who could do that. Oh, we serve a mighty God. And He hears the cries of His people. Oh, He knows. Oh, and we are crying out with all our being, with all our heart. Just as God saw faith when, oh, yes, they let this man through the tiling. Oh, of that roof there, you know, He saw faith. He saw their determination. Oh, He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, the scribes and the Pharisees that were gathered there didn't like that. Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Of course, Jesus perceived their thoughts, it tells us. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch and go into thine house. And praise the Lord, this man responded. This man had faith. Praise the Lord, he believed the words of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, and he obeyed. Praise the Lord, immediately he rose up before them. He took up that whereon he lay, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." But oh, praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. Oh, there is nothing too hard for Him. Oh, He is able to help us no matter how dire our circumstances might be. Praise the Lord, He knows our needs even before we ask Him. Oh, and He's able, oh yes, to help us, to save us, to heal us, to deliver us. Oh yes, to give us those finances that we need. Oh, He knows our predicaments. Oh, He knows the bondage. Oh, the trouble that so many people find themselves in, the hardships and everything else. Oh, He knows and He cares, but He sees faith. Oh yes, faith that comes forth, obedient faith that responds to the voice and the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful for what God has done. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm thinking of that story. My brother-in-law who lives in Canada, those years ago when he needed to sell his property and there was no buyer. And he prayed all night, seeking the Lord with all his heart. Oh, God, what shall I do? I've got a predicament, Lord. I need the money. I can't go on like I am right now. I need help. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave him an answer. He told him to put an ad in a newspaper in Germany, of all places. Who would ever think that? You know? How would it ever come to you? But God put it in his heart. Oh, when he prevailed in prayer, when he sought God with all his heart, God brought the answer. Oh, yes. There came a buyer from Germany that, wanted to buy it at a very good price and also managed to, want him to stay and maintain the property. Oh, wow, what an answer. You just don't know how God will respond when we can have faith and when we can obey. We trust Him. We obey Him. Oh, yes, His word declares what He can do and how He will do it. If we could just have faith and we could just believe God. Oh, we need Him. Oh, we're living in times when faith just seems to be kind of hard to find sometimes. And as Jesus asked there, again, there that reference in the book of Luke, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, but praise the Lord, our God hasn't changed. And just as he saw faith in the days of old when he walked this earth, he sees faith today. He sees faith. Oh, yes, we can show it in many different ways. Oh, a response in the heart. Oh, maybe it's an action that we need to do. Oh, maybe it's a prayer that we need to pray. Maybe it's a seeking with all the heart. Maybe it's getting right with God. Maybe it's obeying. Oh, yes, the voice of God. Something that we've been reluctant to do. Something that's, we've refused to do. But oh, praise the Lord, our God has answers. And oh, He knows how to respond to faith just like He did in the days of old. Praise the Lord. Oh, Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Oh, praise the Lord. And in that 11th chapter of the book of Luke, oh, yes, it's quite close there, but it adds. Verse 13, Luke 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, praise the Lord, if it's the Holy Ghost baptism that you are seeking. Oh, praise the Lord, know that God hears. God responds. God answers. Oh, yes, he has promised. Oh, that he would pour out his Spirit, that he would give us his Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. And all these things that we have need of. Oh, yes, we can ask. We can seek. We can knock. Oh, and knowing that God knows how to respond when we do it with all our hearts. Oh, yes, when we do it, oh, yes, with a heart that's given over to the Lord. A heart, oh, yes, that has sought the Lord and responded in faith and obeyed the voice of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just one more portion of scripture as I close here. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Oh, praise the Lord, our God that has attended to the voice of that prayer. Oh, praise the Lord, that prayer that was prayed with all the heart. Oh, God knows our needs. Oh, and he's there to incline his ear unto us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Get rid of anything. Oh, yes, that would enter. Oh, let it go. Oh, get rid of any iniquity or anything. Oh, yes, that would cause God not to hear. Oh, yes, obey the voice of God. Heed the gospel. Oh, yes, it show faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our wonderful God that hears our prayers, knows our needs, and answers. Praise the Lord. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Praise our God. Oh, yes. Oh, just as he inclines unto those that will obey his voice. Oh, even as such as Naaman. Oh, yes, a Syrian of all people. Oh, yes, God inclined unto him because he submitted himself unto the will of God. Oh, yes, and let the Lord do the work. Praise the Lord. Will you let God do the work that he wants to do in your life tonight? Oh, will you obey God? Will you stand up? Oh, yes, and show faith. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a wonderful God, and nothing is too hard for him. Oh, praise the Lord, and he's here tonight. He's here to hear our cries. He knows our needs. Oh, yes, he's here to respond. Oh, yes, if we only cry with all our heart and show faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, God. Oh, God, I pray that you would work. I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Oh, God, and that the answers would come in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Faith and obedience. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to open our chorus books in closing to number 39 and sing Have Faith in God, number 39. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.